Hello and welcome to Tom Monty Doodoo and the Crocodile Crew.
Fervently of that opinion, but just for controversy's sake, I say KFC.
I think KFC, pretty fervently.
And there are other ones as well that we heard from Greta before. Do you remember what they were?
No.
There's Chickens. All right, well, we live near a Chickens Plus as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, Chickens Plus is good.
No one knows what that is. I've never heard of that place before.
Do you know what? They hand out... Actually, I'll give them a big plug here. They hand out free pork crackling. If you go there, Chickens Plus, okay...
Does that really qualify as a chicken place then if they're... This is the flesh of another animal they're selling.
But this is like why they are a very bogan chain to me, because their business model is so rubbish. Not to say that bogans have rubbish business models, but it's just like, it seems that... It's just...
I'm pretty sure that's what you say.
All right.
And fair enough, they do.
But it seems as though... It's ridiculous, right? They don't even sell pork crackling, but they have it there. And if you ask for it, it's not advertised, but if you ask for it, they'll give you pork crackling.
Yeah, it's because it's a little
but
in there.
But
wow,
charge
that's
you a
their
dollar.
McDonald's toy.
Yeah, but if they want you, but if you want chicken salt on your chips, it costs you an extra dollar. But they'll give you free pork crackling for nothing.
The Chickens Plus guarantee. You'll walk out extremely confused about the business model.
Yeah. It's so dumb.
But I suppose we should also mention that Chargrill Charlie's, I suppose, is equally as confusing, because they offer, like, lasagna, a Thai beef
That's
salad.
That's true, actually. They do Italian food there.
they offer a lot of interesting things.
The reason I think Red Rooster is less bogan than KFC is... I know you'll disagree with me, Jordan, but I think that Red Rooster is aiming at a more of a healthy market, because they're not saying that it's fried chicken. It's grilled chicken, which is seen as... better for you. So they're kind of aiming at they're not just fully accepting themselves as just being, you know, like just plain greasy. You know, it's trying to be a bit more healthy. Well, KFC really owns the grease market.
So you're paying no homage to their mid-2000s advertisement where they had a Eurasian woman dancing around a bunch of shoes and lipstick, and then it goes, do it your way, and then it's got a twister coming out that had salad in it.
Yeah. Well, you know, that was a great ad campaign, I suppose.
Boys.
But that's all it is, isn't it? It's just effect. Let's call a spade a spade.
I did love the twister, though. That was a great...
Boys, great. I'll need to bring to your attention Nando's. Now, that hasn't been mentioned yet. And they have had an interesting ad campaign in the sense that I think it was Unilad got shared around. Nando's with the boys or something like that, was it? What was the meme?
Yeah, well, Nando's became a meme. So it's just joked at now.
It's like blokey sort of Nando's chat.
Well, we did do an ad for them, and
oh, that's right.
They outright refused to air it despite paying for it.
Yeah.
Saying that, yeah, we're totally cool with our image being screwed with. Not to that level. They're completely panned by the upper echelons. They silently put it to the side. So, look, Nando's, just accept it. You're a joke, all right?
Okay, this is going to air. Okay.
They're not a sponsor, to my knowledge, and I've got no idea who sponsors FBI, but I'm sure anyone that does, you know, sorry.
All right, so to avoid legal troubles, let's go on to the next segment, which is Jordan talking about his current legal trouble.
Sorry, I will say, if you want to text in quickly, the number's 0409-945-945 in relation to that titillating question. Anyway, Jordan's
more specifically, just don't focus on anything else. Red Rooster or KFC, that's what we want. Now, here's what I want from you guys as well. You've got heaps of homework, right? I have a legal issue and I don't want to pay for a lawyer or even ring up the free hotline. I want you to ring me and give me advice.
Or at least text in if you actually do have legal knowledge in this. We don't want just speculation about, yeah, man, like, I think it should be fine. Just, you know, if you know what you're talking about.
Kind of in the mood for false hope, Tom.
I want answers.
I want answers and I don't care if they're accurate.
So what happened?
So... was in Tassie for the holidays. Can't recommend it enough. At the peak of that vacation, we went to Cradle Mountain, the most beautiful mountain in Australia, apart from, of course, Mount Kosciuszko, right? That's completely inaccurate.
I reckon Cradle Mountain's way better.
Okay, fair enough.
Have you been to Kosciuszko?
No. I'm just trashing it for the whim that I think it might be bad.
I'll just throw it for no reason, but me and Tom actually walked up that.
Yeah. I really think Cradle Mountain could be the best mountain in Australia. Text in.
That's all well and good, but this was supposed to be my segment.
Sorry, go on. Yeah.
So when did you go there?
Huh?
When did you go there?
I haven't been to Cradle Mountain, but I've seen a lot of photos.
Oh, can you just stay out of this then? Okay, Jordan, go.
So, walked back, breathtaking experience. These two extremely snotty-voiced people waddle up to us. The best way that I can describe them in the mind is if just a couple of boogers got out of their car and started talking to you. Wasn't in the mood for that at all. They come up and they go, excuse me, I think my car's been dented by your car. And we were saying, well, it's been parked, so I don't know how that happened. And then they go, yes, it did. And yeah, it did. Our car did dent their car.
How?
But it was a gust of wind blew the back door onto their back door and made a tiny dent. A tiny dent.
Right.
Right? That's an act of God. That wasn't my fault.
Were they both?
Surely.
Were they both rental cars?
Yeah. So, they've been sending us ever-increasingly stern letters. It's been a lot like at The Simpsons, where Bart just keeps ignoring letters from the Minister of Dunderwook and then the Prime Minister of Australia hopping mad collection agency. All of that's in the trash. We've been doing that. Recently, I had to sign a piece of paper of some guy coming up to me saying, yeah, I just need to notify to the sender that you got this. And so... they're pretty serious at this point. It says, intention to sue, give us the money.
Oh, my God.
Do we have to? Do we have to give the money, or can I just say, no, look, if you want to sue someone, do what Billy Connolly did in, I think, 2003, Sue God.
Did he? Sorry, just give us some backstory on that.
It was a movie that didn't do too well, and what Australian movie does. I'm really not surprised that even New Zealander didn't know that that movie existed.
I knew it was a movie. I can't think of the title.
I'm pretty sure it was The Man Who Sued God.
I thought it was a real thing that occurred.
So, basically, what you've done is you... Yeah, Billy Connolly is that nuts.
Yeah, I'm like, that is a really interesting tale, but it's a movie, so...
So what you did, in short, is you damaged someone else's car. You didn't mean to, but who does mean to, right? It was an act of God.
Yep.
You can't
and my other defense is, it was an accident.
Yeah. They tried to get you to pay for it. So, they contacted the rental car company that have now tried to contact you because the rental car company has to pay for it. So, the rental car company is suing you?
Yeah. So, now they're threatening to sue me. Should I write back, also with this text in, should I write back, I've got access to an audience of over 200,000 people. Is it really worth the $800?
No way. Is that going to work?
Well, I don't know. Text in. The number's 0409-945-945.
Really adamant it would. That's a lot of negative advertising for such a little amount of money.
Yeah.
Hi there, you've got it tuned to Tom Monty Dude and the Crocodile Crew on FBR Radio 94.5. That was the song Burning Sugar by Silicon. Got a lovely few texts coming in on the number, which is 0409-945-945, people mentioning Chico Rolls. We've got one here I'll mention. It says, it ain't easy being greasy. Red Rooster, you're a joke. And that's from Slippery Mick. He's trying to take dunks thrown there, I think, of being our favourite texter. You haven't done that, but I like the enthusiasm.
Yeah. Not even close. The thing is, no one texted in with any legal advice for Jordan, did
they? We have got one. I haven't read it yet, though, so we'll just do it later.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's not urgent enough.
Thank you very much to that person that texted in. I don't know what your advice is. I'm assuming it's shoddy, especially seeing as it probably only has to stick to about 240 characters.
No, but also, actually, no.
But fantastic. Thank
I
you
will
very
mention
much.
They've used commas. So, that is the start of a good text, I think. You know, they've got their grammar down. So, it's going to be worthwhile.
Unless anyway. You use as many commas as lads do to try and make pictures in their texts.
Yeah.
Making an arrow or a smiley face or such. Have they done that?
I can't. As I say, I have not read it. I just skimmed over it, saw there's a comma. I'm like, all right, this is worthwhile.
It's true. There's a lot of time devoted to this text that we have no idea really what's it about.
Yeah.
So, in the meantime, we're going to talk about... have you ever had
Jesus Christ
a last straw? So, is there an example in your life where you have had a job or been doing some activity with someone and something's happened where it's just like crossed the line and then you've just like quit or you've just given up and you just said, you know what, that's it, I'm done?
Hence why it's called Last Straw.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's sort of how it's commonly referred to. Is it more to do with like the straw on the camel's back? Is that how it's kind of... Is that what it means?
Yeah, maybe. Do you know where it's from?
It definitely is that.
Oh, okay.
And for anybody who says that they know where that story comes from, the straw on the camel back, interestingly, it comes from Saudi Arabia, would you believe?
Really?
Don't know. Sense. I'm just really assuming that it does.
Well,
really hoping I wasn't questioned about it.
Yeah. I'm going to, yeah.
Are there camels in Saudi Arabia?
Yes. Of course there is. Maybe. I don't know. I've never been there. I haven't seen any documentaries about Saudi Arabia. But from cartoons featuring Tom and Jerry, when they go to Saudi Arabia, yes.
Apparently, Australia has one of the largest camel populations.
Why did that seem like that was going to be like a really funny thing?
That's it.
No, I know. Oh,
you lent in. You lent in with this, like, hey, you guys ready for this side-splitting fact?
He was hovering over the mic there. Like
the mic's
about
lower than my height. I have to crouch down to get
it. I know, but you did it as if you were coming out with something.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
You say that.
All right, well, that's good. Last straw would be when I used to work at Hoyts, which is really weird because I think all of ours are job related to very similar jobs to Hoyts. But
and was all of our first jobs as well.
Yeah.
We had very little exposure to the workaday world, but at a young age we all decided, no, that's the last straw. I refuse to work longer than I'm imagining 8 to 9 months.
Yeah, no, mine's pathetic. Mine was 3 shifts. I quit on the 3rd shift.
Oh dear.
Because I was cleaning, because they do this thing at Hoyts where they just make you just clean and clean and clean, even if it's completely spotlessly clean. They just do it because the managers are in year 10, so they just don't know what else to... They have no kind of...
No imagination, no vision.
Yeah, they can't see, like, all right, well, maybe I'll let them rest for a bit because, you know, it's everything's clean. It's just that they've been told they have to get everyone to clean, so we clean.
So it's the Supray version of Look Busy, the Hoyts version.
Yeah. So I remember, like, the thing that was the final straw for me was I was cleaning the popcorn machine and the manager at Hoyts called me out to the front of the... to have a look at the candy bar, and we both stood there looking at the candy bar, and he told me how if I play my cards right, I could be manager. And that was it. And then I couldn't take it.
How did you let him know? How did you leave?
I was polite, and then I just rang up later, and I was like, look, I have to quit. And he's like, look, mate, you don't want to burn your bridges. Like, I really think you shouldn't do this. And I was thinking, I really don't think East Gardens Hoyts is ever going to have somewhere, like, be a thing where I'm going to regret this one day. But you never know, it could happen, so.
Why?
I wrote him a letter, actually, as well.
But I don't understand why that made you snap the promise of promotion.
Because if you get the promotion to be manager, you have to work incredibly long hours. And I looked at the award and the rate is still awful. Like, it would be like $16 to $17 an hour as like the manager there. And just the fact that someone who is younger than you is giving you this motivational speech of being like, one day if you work hard, like, you'll be where I am. It just was too demeaning.
You know what? That's an extremely reasonable last straw. I've completely changed my mind on that. Tom, thank you.
Oh, it's okay.
What's yours?
Oh,
okay. Yeah.
So, when I was working at Target, there was Good Ben and Bad Ben, and Good Ben left. Bad Ben was just this sassy 24-year-old that wouldn't take guff from anyone. And I used to have the plum job, because I was young and they didn't want me out on the floor because it would probably raise questions about child labour, even though I was legal, but I looked 10.
Do you reckon that's really the reason they're worried about child labour concerns?
I just don't know why you'd give me the receptionist job otherwise.
Mm.
Can you think of anything off the top of your head?
Maybe. Yeah, just not nearly good enough at, like, customer relations at that age.
Yeah, that's probably a really good reason as well. They know that every single response will be, oh, I need to see my manager about that. Yeah. So, I had that job of sitting there, which was pretty much exactly what I'm doing now, except for replace Robbie with the assistant manager and you with the manager. And we'd just sit there and chat all day. It was great. There were two 40-year-old women. They'd always bring in tea and biscuits. I was paid by Target to eat tea and biscuits and listen to them complain about their husbands. That was my job.
So what?
And I earned that money. There was some deep stories in that. One day, Ben started putting me out onto the checkout line, saying that you just have to go out there. We don't have enough people. And then I was saying, but I'm a receptionist. And then he said to me, look at me. Do I care? Do I look like I care? And that was the last straw. After that, I just always said, oh, I've got to study for my school certificate. It's like, really, I'm so busy with that at the moment. Oh, please.
Yeah.
Who actually studies for that?
It feels so fair enough. It feels just like all jobs that you have when you're in high school, just any kind of indication of like a hostile boss is just worth quitting. Yeah. What's the point? Why put up with that?
Why trade your dignity for $8?
Yeah.
Yes.
Why even there? Yeah, all right. What's yours, Robbie?
My one's related to Hoyts as well, actually. So I was an usher and a ticket ripper and this sort of thing. And then I would occasionally go and check the cinemas, make sure nobody's got their feet on the seats, filming, got the lights on, these sorts of things.
You never reprimanded anyone for filming, though, did you?
I didn't. But what I would do is any like little roustabout hooligans that would come up through the elevator, I would always call them out. I would always get the manager on their ass, and I would remove them.
The kids trying to sneak in.
I would never do it myself, though. I would always... like, it just broke up the day nicely. I could have just let them watch the movie. That would have been nice for them. But I was like, screw you.
I'm bored.
Yeah, basically, let's get you out of here.
What a projection. Yeah. Even on this radio show now, the little power that Robbie wields, he abuses.
But basically, yeah, I was watching Transformers 2, just sort of checking the cinema, and I was in there for a bit too long, I think. And
What do you mean, you're watching it or you're checking the cinema?
I was checking the cinema, and then I sat down for a little moment, and then
just to watch.
I knew there were many people on the job, and they would not mind. Turns out they did mind, and that was the last straw for them with me.
So you didn't leave the job, you were asked to leave.
Oh, it was a bit of both, but yeah, like
yeah.
A bit of both is you were obviously fired. Yeah. That's what the translation sounds to me.
You were asked to resign.
I was given a warning and then I was like, oh, that's the last straw.
Yeah, right.
So, do you know what I mean?
It really sounds like you're trying to cobble together some saving grace in this.
Oh.
You were fired for watching Transformers 2.
No, I don't know about that. But, all right.
Yeah, I suppose it is your life. You would know better. But, like, as an outsider listener, Robbie, seriously, get your life together.
Okay, all
yeah,
right.
He definitely doesn't know better. He was fired.
All right. Okay, yeah. Let's cut this out. Keep texting in. We've got some legal advice coming up after this next song. It's called Photograph, and it's by Damaged Bug. Hello there, Tom Monty Doodoo and the Crocodile Crew on your dial, FBI Radio 94.5 FM. That was Photograph by Damaged Bug.
So we were watching Holy Mountain last night, which is a very famous film, apparently, which is a hipster classic. Hipsters love it. Jordan had heard from it from our
hipster.
Favorite hipster. And,
whose boyfriend will be defending Donald Trump, is an avid supporter of him on our podcast. It'll be essentially an hour-long debate. Stay tuned for that later on in the week. Don't know if we're allowed to advertise that. So, Tom, quickly, talk about what you're talking about. Don't want to talk about this anymore.
Quickly, though, how counterculture is that for hipsters to support Donald Trump? Like, it seems as though it should be quite a hipster move to do.
Mm.
But anyway, so we were watching this. Very
musings.
Yeah, just a thought I had.
Just leave that over to you. What do you guys reckon? Don't text in about it. Yeah. We're talking about this.
So, Holy Mountain is a very interesting film, which is just unintelligible, impossible to understand. It's been regarded as being beyond review or criticism is the...
And I think we came to that conclusion. Yeah, we did come to that conclusion, didn't we?
And it definitely is, yeah. You can't...
We turned to the most critical man we know, Matt. You guys know him.
Yeah.
He's the editor of the Fredly Geordies videos. We turned to him and said, "What do you think? Beyond criticism and review?" And he turned to us and said, "Yes."
And it was said. but it truly is. Can you just think about that for a second? Every film you've ever seen,
you've got an opinion on it, right?
But this film is like, it's so beyond you. Even though it could just be a load of rubbish, but you just don't know because it's so confusing. It could be saying something massive and you just can't be... No one is confident enough to really be able to be confident in saying that. Anything.
It just enters your mind and just stays there in a spot where you don't know what it's doing there.
That's the whole trick. That's how they got beyond criticism or review... Is because afterwards you go, I don't know what happened. I don't know how to criticize something of have
I
no
can't
like,
understand
I'm totally it. I just feel like Snorlax put confusion on me. That was he just popped up on screen and went bah.
Yeah, but
that was the movie.
But the one part of it I guess we can be critical of is all the animal violence that happens in that film. And you know that it couldn't be made today because of just the laws around that kind of thing now. But back then, it was quite confronting.
And in Mexico?
Yeah.
God, Mexico in the 70s, no holds barred, animal on animal mayhem.
A good example is a scene where it's trying to be some metaphor for like global expansion or something, where all these cane toads are dressed up as Spanish conquerors and there's all these iguanas that are dressed up as Mexican Aztecs.
And I don't know if it's just like the greyhounds chasing the electric rabbit around the field and they starve them for so long that they chase after whatever they can.
Yeah.
Or these are toads that eat iguanas.
Yeah, bread. So, but, yeah, they just...
But they started eating... The little iguanas that were dressed up as Inca emperors, which was adorable to watch.
And then some explosions occurred.
And they blew up this miniature set.
And they just obliterated both of these animals in a violent display that was pretty horrific.
And then the Inca pyramids just started raining blood, just heaps of blood, kind of like a sacrificial thing.
Yes.
And just these cane toads are just drenched in blood. Exploding. It was just insane.
I'm really glad that this broadcast doesn't reach Queensland, because I'd imagine the vast majority of people listening would be like, yeah, that's just my Saturday. I always blow up cane toads.
But it wasn't just that. Like, it got really... Like, there were so many animals in this movie.
It wasn't even violence. Yeah, a lot of it, just sort of seeing them and knowing they were real in the context of that scene was just disturbing in some way.
Yeah,
you know?
like pulling a crocodile out of the water, or having a baby hippo just kind of bathing next to
just being
someone.
There. It's just... It was disgusting.
But then there was violence. Like, there was two rabid dogs, like, mauling each other.
Oh, my Lord, yes.
So, the segment is... Hugely against my will, let's get sad on the radio.
So we're basically just going to be talking about sort of, you know, the violence and disturbing nature of the animal cruelty in that film. And then we're going to hear from Jordan about an image he saw recently that disturbed him in some way. And then we're going to listen to...
I don't know why I agreed to that. And I really don't want to be doing this segment.
And then we're going to be listening to a sad song, and then we're going to come back, because we've got light and shade, you know, a comedy show. We've got comedy at the beginning, we've got the sad bit in the middle, and then we're going to end with some comedy, and it's going to be really, really powerful.
That's
plan. Your theory. Okay.
Jordan, tell us about that.
Willy-nilly experiment on one of the biggest community stations in Sydney, just see if this works or not.
Let's bring the mood down. So, Jordan, tell us this really sad image that you know of.
Okay, so I was perusing through... There's all the... You know all those little articles at the bottom of Huffington Post or whatever that say, you'll never believe these 20 images.
Yeah.
It was apparently one of the most famous pictures of the 20th century, and it is of a little boy who had obviously been trained by the Japanese emperor to be a soldier for when he could actually hold a gun properly. His little brother had been shot, and he was perhaps 2, and the older brother was 10, and he was standing at attention, requesting permission for the boy to be cremated, and the boy was like laying lifeless in a backpack underneath him, and so he was just sitting there trying not to cry.
Whoa.
I don't understand why you thought this would be a good segment, Robbie. Why did you want that on air?
I thought you were talking about another picture. That's
Robbie, do you have a sad story to tell?
I've just teed up a sad song. I guess we can probably just kill this now.
Yeah, I reckon that's probably the end of this one.
Yeah,
like, do you reckon that pretty bad?
I don't know. Are you...
Yes, go to the song.
Okay. Okay, so that was the song Twice by Little Dragon. A little bit sad there. But now we're going to... Well, you're listening to Tom Wants Dude and the Crocodile Crew on FBI Radio 94.5.
We're talking, where do you have to...
You are joking. All right, sorry, just for those listening. I was in the middle of the song, I said 30 seconds ago, what I'm going to do is I'm going to back announce the song, and then I'm going to read a couple of texts, and then we're going to get into Sydney Suburb Wars. And then I mentioned that just then. All right, here we go. We've got a couple of texts here. We've got advice for Jordan in terms of the legal stuff. Oh, this is unprofessional. And
extremely solid. I know we were disparaging you before for... How could you give me good legal advice in a text? This guy did it. If you're a lawyer, text in, and I'm going to advise people on the air to call you if you've got a problem, because that was incredible. So concise. I now know what to do, and basically, yeah, I really should pay that, that bill.
To recap really quickly,
Jordan, a lot of problems.
Jordan crashed his car into someone else. Really,
it was an act
crash.
Of God.
Smashed his car into someone else.
Me.
In Tasmania. He didn't buy insurance, so that's the response of the person who's trying to help. He didn't buy car rental insurance. He smashed his car into someone, and now they're trying to sue him because he doesn't want to pay for the damages.
I just pretended I don't live at my house.
And their advice was, let's hope you bought insurance because it should cover it, and if you didn't, probably contact their insurance. Pay or run.
Cameron sent in, he said, ask your boy Lionel Hutz. So I think that's a Simpsons reference. And Jordan, you
Cameron,
love
also an excellent piece of advice. You found my weak spot. Yeah, I was really tentative about putting you as second best human being to Dunks, but you definitely are. You can't take Dunks off his perch. Dunks is flawless as a human being. But Cameron's almost flawless. A near-perfect human.
So now we're going to talk about Sydney suburbs, because we've been advised that we need to be a bit more broad on FBI, talk about a bit, you know, range it out. Don't just talk about, you know, inner-city problems.
They're trying to expand the audience.
That's it. So, we're saying...
Include everyone.
There's heaps of suburbs. Sydney's full of suburbs. But what's the worst suburb? Guys, we're
wanting
to know
where this is going.
So it's instead of if you could live in any Sydney suburb, where would you live? And everyone says, like
Woolloomooloo.
Woolloomooloo, yeah. That's great, yeah. Yeah, well, where would you not want to live? So, Robbie, where would you not want to live?
We'll go with you because you're easily the most geographically unaware. I'm pretty sure you don't know the name of the suburb you currently live in.
Yeah, it would be good to just hear a stereotype knowledge of this. Just like, you have very little idea of what Sydney is like.
Mm.
If just from what you know about Sydney, which sounds like the worst place to live to you?
As a tourist, you more or less are a tourist that's been living here for 15 years.
I used to play ice hockey in Blacktown, and, you know, I probably wouldn't want to live there, I guess. I don't know.
Why not?
Well, I don't know. Like, it just... I don't want to... is this basically we just pay out places? It doesn't sound very nice, this bit.
No, it's not paying out. It's just asking you where you wouldn't want to live and why not.
Well, that's it, right? Like, I don't want to live there because... What are you saying?
Why? Yeah, what's the problem? What's wrong with Blacktown, Robbie?
Oh, you dickhead. You...
What?
No, you... I'm not having this. All right, you... You go then, Tom. Where don't you want to live?
No. Voice your opinion.
You are joking. This is a disgrace.
This is a setup.
You are joking.
Robbie hates Blacktown.
No, I don't. I just...
How's that for expanding the audience?
I don't have any friends there is basically it, you know. I don't have any...
Oh, that is the most light, euphemistic answer. Don't insult our intelligence, you awful man.
Hey, rose-coloured glasses, boys.
Look... I don't mind Blacktown. I've been there lots of times. I think it's a pretty nice place. Good food. Good place.
Great people.
I know. I agree.
More than some people, you know?
Robbie, for instance,
not a good person.
Where else? Where would you... Right,
like, I wouldn't want to live in Rose Bay, for instance, because public transport sucks. You know? Like,
this is... You guys...
Look, I just hate how you just immediately jump to the West. You know, that's immediately what you do.
Especially when we're trying to include these people into the FBI audience.
I agree.
That's the one that you go to.
My friends are that way. Or in Rose Bay.
Yeah, so why don't you say Rose Bay then?
Well, it's just... I've been to Blacktown heaps of times because I used to play ice hockey there, whereas Rose Bay, I haven't been there that much.
Yeah, but your reason was the lack of friends, specifically. Sure. Anyway, all right, well, you know,
it was
Jordan...
Just, it was more fresh in my mind because I played ice hockey there, that's what I'm saying. Anyway, Jordan, you go.
Would you...
Rockdale.
Oh, really?
Who lives there? What does it do?
I agree,
What's
actually.
The purpose of Rockdale?
The beach is terrible. You know, it's not even a beach. It's, like, next to the Port Botany, like, shipping container area. So, it's really awful water.
Yeah, yeah. It's... I remember a lot of stories on Channel 7 News about that, where they just have dialogue of the gangsters that go to that beach, and then they'd say it in a news-reading voice, but it shouldn't be said in a news-reading voice, because it's the underbelly talking, right? Yeah. So, it'd just be, a man was violently bashed with a chair along Brightlands Les Sands. The last thing anyone remembers him saying was, "What are you doing on my territory, bro? Oh, followed by a mass beating.
Yeah, I used to play quite a bit of poker in Rockdale, and there's a few very dodgy areas around there. Some of it's really nice, but yeah.
And also, if anybody lives out there, tell me, why is there so many aquariums?
In Rockdale?
Yeah. Why are people so into owning aquatic fish? You know, specifically marine fish.
Mm.
I don't know. And I remember it also before Finding Nemo, this explosion of aquariums out there.
Yeah, did you hear that thing? How apparently more clownfish were purchased after Finding Nemo came out? Because, you know, even though the film's kind of meant to be about... You know, big theme of that is don't take fish away from their environment. Then everyone just, like, went crazy on buying clownfish.
Wow, that's a pretty telling thing, isn't it, about society?
Yeah.
It's
now
awful.
Go get your own. Yeah. See if his dad rescues this one.
Yeah. All right. Well, any other views on suburbs?
Oh, my God. We've got a text here. It says, Ingleburn in the news. Oh, my God. Oh. I'll talk to you about it in a bit. That's it. No, sorry. It's a little bit dark.
Darker than your comments about Blacktown.
It actually is. I don't know. It feels a bit insensitive to kind of just talk about that.
Well, I can't imagine anything being worse than that, Robbie. You may as well enlighten the rest of the audience now that you've put this show in the gutter with your awful views.
Yeah, I was thinking more of a, you know, I don't like, you know, DY on the northern beaches, but I do like Narrabeen. Like, you know, just a kind of lighthearted...
Well, aren't you a
no
ray
real
of sunshine,
reason.
Mate? I mean, look at this.
And you're just a bottomless pit of darkness.
Okay. It's called My Way, and it's by Close, FBI Radio 94.5. Hi there. Tom Monty Doodle and the Crocodile Crew with you on FBI Radio 94.5 FM. That was the song My Way, and it featured Joe Dookie from Fat Freddy's Drop by Close.
So Jordan's a massive fan of self-help, and he is kind of... So big self-help guru in the world is Tony Robbins, and he's gained all this information by just collecting all the information in the world into one digestible, super easy to relate to and apply to your
and
life.
Fun.
Yeah, and it's fun. It's great. It's perfect. But what Jordan has done, he's taken it one step further, and he's not only done... He's got all the information from Tony Robbins, but he's also got all the information from every other self-help guru. So he's even more condensed in just knowledge of how to make you a better you. So Jordan is going to give us some self-help advice.
Yeah. If Tony Robbins is condensed milk, I'm condensed milk ultra. Don't know if that product exists yet. Frankly, I don't want to try it either.
Frankly, I don't want to know.
Sounds very thick. But that's what I am. So, here's what we're talking about today. The power of reading. And this will be a continuous segment, and there'll always be the power of something.
Mm.
This one, however... is pivotal, because about 3-5% of every society appears to rise from its original social strata. So we're not talking about people like Trump that were born into wealth and then say, with a small business loan of $1 million, I made my way to the top, making less money than what I would have if I just put my father's inheritance in the bank and didn't touch it, right? So the people that actually rise, say, from, you know, your Condoleezza Rices of the world, your Oprah Winfrey's, these people, there is a direct correlation to how much you read in life and how high up you rise. The average human being in the West reads less than one book a year, making Tom bang on average.
Yeah, that seems really reasonable to me, that number.
I don't know if that's meant to be shocking. Where do you get the time?
Yeah, I don't know if that is meant to be shocking, hearing that.
No, it's because it's not shocking to you, because that's your life.
Well, all
you
of us,
pick up
mate.
The Da Vinci Code.
Yeah, the vast majority of us don't find that shocking, so...
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Just get yourself out of that filth, Tom. Yeah, why are you feeling around in there? What did you read this year?
Audiobooks. June.
No, see,
that doesn't count.
What?
We're talking about using your eyeballs, something that you hate the idea of.
Oh, God. None. Zero. For sure. I don't think it matters.
Tough words from a man who knows absolutely nothing about this subject.
Yeah. Look, I don't know much.
I'm a man of few words. I've read very few books. I don't have many opinions on anything, frankly.
And I hate Rose
Not
Bay.
Not much of an authority.
Yeah, all I know is I hate Rose Bay and I hate books. My two things.
With his gruff worker man beard as well. I hate Rose Bay and I hate books.
Yeah, you ivory tower snob. All right, well, all right, so, come on.
Apparently, if you read 50 books in any subject, that is the equivalent of a PhD in that field. That's how many you would read. If you read that continually, after 3 years, you would be a national expert on the subject. If you read it for 5 years continually, you'd be an international expert. If you read it for 7 years, you'd know the
like
most.
Such a ridiculous stat.
Yeah, you could represent the
world.
Well,
think about 5 years worth of... If you read 250 books on something, I would imagine you would be an international expert.
I know, but say, like, the topic you chose is, like, Australian history, and you've spent 3 years on it, and you become a national expert on Australian history. The odds are you don't need to spend that much longer to become an international expert. Because you probably know, because Australians on average would know more about Australian history than Spain would know about Australian history. You know, like the topic would definitely vary that. But okay. Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Fair nitpick.
Yeah,
really does. Good example choosing something that is clearly related to nations.
Yeah, exactly.
When you're talking about internationalism. It's a very fair point in a very, very specific instance.
But generally, yeah, you'd be right. If it was on like being an expert on milk or something, or on agriculture, I could understand that.
And so what happens is, first of all, reading is the equivalent of doing bicep curls for your brain. This is what actually makes crinkles in it, is the people that are able to read. So it's not only a thing of, there's three huge advantages to people who are reading what the top 3% of society read, which is about 40 to 50 books a year. Meaning they're getting a PhD on a subject every single year of their lives, when most people think, too cool for school. Heaps of K's in that. There shouldn't be any.
Hell yeah.
But that's how Tom rolls, for sure.
Hoorah.
Hoorah.
Tom spells his name...
Marines.
K-O-K, because he's not a racist, but it still just ends up spelling cock. That's how he spells Tom. So what happens is that eventually... You also start to build up the... what also starts happening is people who don't read, their brain actually gets worse. It's not as agile. It's not able to make snap decisions quicker. It starts to decline, much like if you're brushing your teeth every day and then you stop, your teeth will start to rot. That's what happens to your mind if you don't constantly exercise it. That's one of the major reasons why these people advance in society. The second one is it increases your vocabulary. And there is a direct link between how many words you know and how likely you are to go to jail.
All right, that's called a correlation, but there's no causation there. It's not because you don't know words that you're in jail.
I would argue that it is, because not only are you're not able to communicate with yourself as effectively, you're not able to communicate to others.
To your lawyer before you get put in prison.
But you see it all the time. Every time you hear some crim that's about to get locked away for murder, and they just be like, no, your majesty, I ain't done it. Like, They have very few words.
It's not the words. It's they're not educated, so they're just unable to, like, make these... if they're uneducated, there's probably a correlation to their socioeconomic status. So then, like, it's all links, but there's not... Yeah, it's like having like a 5-link process between them not knowing words and being in jail.
Okay.
Then connecting them.
I've got 2 points. Don't you think also you would justify in any way you could your position? And also Jordan. Jordan.
Very good point, Robin.
And also Jordan, who's got the best words?
Donald Trump.
Hell yeah. Hoorah.
Hoorah.
The greatest quote that man has said on the campaign trail so far.
I've got an excellent vocabulary. I know the best words.
But again, the thing is, what we're talking about in this instance is they're not educated, no, but on top of that, vocabulary is a huge part of education. Mm. That's the way that you're able to articulate things. It's the way that if you know a lot of words, you're able to construct good sentences. So yep. It's kind of like someone who knows the best words is able to construct Taj Mahal sentences every single paragraph. Whereas someone like that hillbilly that going, I ain't strangle her, your majesty. I don't know who that is. That's your mum. No, it ain't.
Yeah.
Them. They're building shacks. They're building hillbilly shacks with every word that comes out of their mouth.
Yeah. I don't know. I just think it's so anecdotal, you know. Like, just, you know, roll with Oprah, roll with... Like, there are examples of good ones, but there's also tons of examples of people that have, you know, a terrible vocabulary. Like, I've got the best words. Like, he's going to be president of the United States and he doesn't have the best words. And he's going to have it because of his
Because he's communicating
wealth.
To idiots.
Yeah, but, like, the point is, you know, or take, like, riffraff or, like, people like that who are just idiots, but they just, you know, there's other factors that go into success than just how many books they read. Yes or no?
Yeah, no, there is, but, like, they cannot...
No, I know.
Oh, my God, you are looking for excuses not to read.
Yeah.
Okay, so Robbie has done what is an extremely... time-consuming way of reminding us that we're supposed to wrap up this segment by making us read really distant, probably like size 12 font words.
It was a mind map as well. We had to follow like a step-by-step.
A mind map eye test was his way of telling us to wrap it up. No hand movements.
Yeah, so the way we're segueing across is that Jordan's been reading, and when he came across his travels in reading, he came across something that might surprise Robbie.
I don't know about this.
And this is what we're saying, is that reading is cool. This is the whole segment, right? That, that reading advances your life. So, Robbie, hit the terrifying music, because this segment, again, has been sprung on him. The best kind of segment.
Okay.
Here we go. Robbie, I present to you your challenge.
Can you please read this piece of paper that Jordan has just handed you?
Oh, no. No, no, no.
Just read it out.
No.
Read it out.
Turn it around the other way.
No, no, I'm not reading this out. No.
So Robbie is looking at the moment at an upside down star, which is the symbol of Satan, I believe.
How dare you?
And
I can't believe
that will curse himself.
Because I put two and two together. I was reading a book about curses, and I know that Robbie hates curses. So I cursed you.
No, you didn't.
With a Luciferian curse.
How dare you?
So you're currently cursed, Robbie. If you want to uncurse yourself, does he read that?
No. All right.
No, you've already seen it now. You're cursed for the rest of your life.
You wrote it. You wrote it.
Now, when you saw the star, the curse began, and that's the antidote to get rid of it.
No, look. See, now you've seen it. Now Tom's seen it.
I don't believe in it, though.
Well, I don't believe in it either then, so.
You clearly do. You are jittering.
All right, let's do the next... okay. Let's do Robbie's lab then, and then we've got to go. Sorry.
Oh, we've got to clack that in. We don't have time for a song.
No, we don't.
Okay,
so we've just
got to let stew in everyone's mind that Robbie's cursed and say how unfortunate because the movie that we watched after Holy Mountain last night was Running Man, oddly, starring Arnold Schwarzenegger, probably his least most popular film. And I've got to ask why.
I know it was very fun.
Yeah,
so Robbie's lab is where every week we try and do a bit of science, bring science into the mainstream by taking it a bit more seriously. But this week we're going to see. I don't know how it's scientifically connected, but Robbie, you're going to have to try and run to the door.
Okay.
Without getting hit by Jordan.
By Steely Jordan, who's got a couple of crutches that Robbie bought in that he purchased from a discount chemist. And now, like, fate's a crazy thing, isn't it?
Okay.
Your own tools used against you.
What did you think of last week, Robbie?
Well, I hurt myself last week, didn't I? So that's what happens for science.
We forgot to mention this. Robbie has been wearing a neck brace all week as a result of falling off a chair as part of Robbie's lab.
It was really your own fault. You were trying to say that Charlie Chaplin was crap because he couldn't do his own stunts. You tried to do a stunt and you really seriously injured your neck. So now, this week, you're going to try and get to the door without Jordan whacking you with a crutch.
Okay, let me just put on the Running Man music.
I'm crutch man. I've changed my mind because I've got crutches and I'm going to try and hit Robbie in the crutch.
All right, you have to get to the door and back, Robbie. Ready, set, go.
You'll never get past these.
All right, Robbie's running back. You're the Running Man, Robbie. There you go. Oh. How was that?
Did I do it?
Yes, you did it. So that was Robbie's lab.
I smacked his wrist pretty hard.
Okay. Now we're going to... I guess we'll see you guys next week. Thanks for being with us. Tom Montedudo and the Crocodile Crew, FBR Radio 94.5 FM. Thanks to Jordan.
Toodaloo, guys.
Thanks to Tom.
Thank you.
And I'm Robbie, and this is the song Witness Dub. It's by Roots Maneuver. So, goodbye.